listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Every day, your greatest resource goes everywhere with you. In fact, it's been with you since before you were born. Unfortunately, most of us have moved into our heads, thereby largely ignoring this incredible resource. But when you can get out of your head and into your body, says Steve Sisgold, my guest for today, you can achieve greater wisdom, confidence, and success. Today, we're talking about how you can channel the power of your body to achieve your wildest dreams. You're listening to Full Power Living, where we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. You're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, emotionalpro.com, or also we have subscription on iTunes. We have chats at both of those locations, and we have a toll-free number for you to call and ask questions or make comments, which we hope you'll do. It's 888-498-0570, and that's listed on both of our chats also, 888-498-0570. Steve Sisgold is a motivational speaker and an executive coach. He's shared the stage with Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson. He's taught workshops with Gay and Kathleen Hendricks, Alan Cohen, Lisa Rankin, Shakti Gawain, and others. And he's appeared on television and radio shows, including the Dr. Laura Berman Show on Oprah Radio, the Montel Williams Show, and PBS's Between the Lines. He blogs for popular websites such as Psychology Today, Owning Pink, and Vistage. And he lives in Marin County, California, and he grew up in Baltimore, two blocks from my husband. So, Steve Sisgold, you've been here before, and we're delighted to welcome you back to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. I'm glad you remembered the Baltimore connection.
Absolutely. Can't forget it. You Baltimoreans, you never forget people that you grew up with.
Oh, it's an amazing, amazing experience growing up.
So, you know, I read your book cover to cover, and I think it's a really good book. And I just want to say that every page was interesting and you've done a great job. And the bottom line of the book, it seems to me, is to remind us is that we're not heads for which our body provides transportation, but we are whole people and we have whole bodies. And you're saying that we need to connect with our bodies first in all that we do. Can you talk about the importance of connecting body first?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it can be as simple as talking to you right now. I could be gripping the phone. I could be in my mind. I could be thinking about what happened earlier today and what's going to happen later today and not realize that I'm straining my body. I'm doing things to my body that's not good for it on one level. On another level, you know, when someone says something and you have to make a decision, or whether it's an investment or it's just a communication, often we'll go into our mind and we'll have a lot of assumptions and we'll make up all these stories. But if we just take a moment and go, wow, I noticed when you said that, my stomach tightened. I wonder why. You know, maybe there's some information that's needed that you're not listening to because your body's been there from day one. It may have some memories or some information. So on many levels, I think it's just been a great choice for me to tune in and find out what my whole body is telling me, not just my brain.
Uh-huh. You know, you're reminding me that years ago, my daughter she walked home from school one Monday morning. She'd been at her dad's house on the weekend. And she walked in sobbing, concerned about our dog, who was old and was in the process of dying. And I let her see the dog and I comforted her. But then my solar plexus was in a knot from the moment I saw her. And I said to her, you know, I appreciate that you're concerned for our dog, but my stomach here is in a knot. And that usually tells me somebody's manipulating me. So will you tell me what else is going on? And it turned out that she'd had a fight with her teacher, and when her dad dropped her off at school, she just walked home instead of going to school. And we had to straighten all that out, of course.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? What is your like? What does your gut tell you happened there?
Well, it registered some energy, I guess, registered some energy that was coming from her, maybe a blocked energy or something. I don't know. I never really thought about the actual process.
Yeah, it's just amazing though, you know, that we have these responses, we've been told things, we have experiences, we hold our breath, we keep them in our bodies, whether we're 2 years old or 5 years old, or you know, somebody can tell us something, like we feel like we have a feeling and somebody says, "Oh no, that's not true," and then we start to, you know, process that way and our body starts to talk to us. And then in time, not in her case, but in time, we don't trust our bodies. We don't listen to our instincts, and we get very confused. And in fact, some of us were even discouraged to feel in our body. So, you know, in each case, it's like, let's take a deep breath and take a moment and listen and really feel what's underneath, you know, that body experience.
So what happens if we don't do that? That's what we're familiar with, right? Where we get tense and we can't take action, we're not successful. What are some of the downsides of not going body first?
Well, I think there's a lot of downsides. Like one, like I said, you know, I can be, thank goodness my book came out 2 days ago, and it's been exciting. But you know, the publisher said to me, "We can put it out in 2016, or if you really want, we could put it out in 2015 if you can write it in 7 weeks." I'm like, 7 weeks? I couldn't turn that down. But for 7 weeks, you know, my sweetheart would walk by and go, "Honey, you're slumping. Oh, look at you. Your face is next to the computer." Like I had no idea, you know, at times I was so engrossed in the screens, as many of us are, and there's a lot of negative that happens. I mean, one is, you know, where our heads are looking down at smartphones a lot, and that's causing an enormous amount of neck and back and shoulder strain like never before. Also, you know, just our posture, our energy, physical health level. Our unconsciousness of gripping and holding in is definitely causing more stress and more illness and health issues, arthritis, carpal tunnel, blah, blah, blah. Secondly, we could be in a communication and really have something we want to say, but our habit, swallowing it or, you know, not expressing that, then where does it go? It has to go somewhere. And that's why so many times you hear about, "Oh, it was a nice guy. He really was a nice guy, but he had something inside that he didn't express out of his body. It just kept sucking it in and storing it in, and then one thing happens and boom, he explodes." And I think all of us are walking time bombs like that at times if we don't process, if we don't move and breathe and exercise and let our bodies free, it will build up and it can cause so many problems on so many levels.
You know, I used my grandchildren, they're 9 and 7, were here, and they moved over the summer and they're going to a new school. And they started telling me that they were scared about going to the new school. And I used something I had learned from you. I had them make these big body postures and talk about how wonderful it was that they were going to get to meet new people and have new, wonderful, exciting experiences. And they ended up giggling and enjoying themselves instead of being afraid. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it, that we can, in one moment, like, you know, when you see somebody cross that goal line when they make a football or somebody hits a home run, they open up like a big peacock, their arms go to the sky. That actually does something to our brain. Our neuronets love that. When we move versus sit, our neuronets get open and we get more creative ideas and we get excited. And so in my book, I have a story of a woman who lost her husband and was just going down quickly, depressed. And then all of a sudden, she got this idea to sit by her window and wave to the school children each day as they walked. And she noticed that felt good. And then as more she did that, and the more she put her hand on her heart and waved, she felt better. And then the kids started to feel better doing it back. So they were doing these little power poses, not even realizing it, but they were making themselves happy versus where we sink in, like you see a duck on an oil field, how they're all, you know, their wings are in versus spread out. And that's really a very important lesson that you're doing with your granddaughter.
Yeah, I hope they remember. I'm sure they will remember it. You know, it's always interesting with kids. You never know what will take until years later. So, but in chapter two of your book, you emphasize that we always have a choice about where we place our attention. And we have a tendency, we've literally been trained in this culture to go into our heads and kind of forget about our bodies. But we can choose to go to our bodies first, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like in my book, you know, I gave this simple example of, I remember I was at the Waimea Canyon in Kauai. I was just, my whole body was vibrating how gorgeous that is and how amazing the colors and the rocks. And a guy gets off the bus and he comes up and he goes, yeah, we don't have this in Little River. Little River doesn't have anything like this. Boy, I wish we had this at home. And then he gets back on the bus and I thought, wow. He didn't take a moment to actually feel in his body what he was looking at. He was in his mind back at home and comparing it and kind of disappointed that he didn't have it home. He didn't have a chance to really feel the experience. The same thing when we get up on stage and talk about our business or our life. And if it's not in our body and we're just talking about it, people will notice, like, that person's giving a lecture on stress management, but they're gripping their hand or they're shaking their leg, you know? And we're all incongruent in what we feel and express. Our body's giving another message, and I have helped many people in the areas of sales and performance and public speaking improve that by taking a look at, like, well, you're saying this, but your body's saying something else. Let's go in and find out why your body gives that message versus what your mouth is saying.
Well, now, in your book, you say that's what initially got you interested in this whole field, that you noticed that some people are more successful than others, and that successful people are congruent with their words and attitudes and body language. How do we, I don't know what to ask about that, but I'm fascinated with that issue.
Oh, that's great. No, first of all, thank you for being someone who actually read the book. That speaks to me. You know, people want their talking points and they go to the, I can tell they go down the list of questions. It's very refreshing when I talk to a host who's actually speaking from the book. So first of all, I want to say thank you.
You're most welcome.
Secondly, I think it's really what I call viral beliefs. We have these beliefs in our system that happened from experiences. You may have told you before, Eileen, as you know, when I was young, I lived in a row house neighborhood in Baltimore, and everybody was friendly, and aunt and uncle. And the first time my cousins and I went up to the main thoroughfare, we got called names and beat up and sent home by these rough guys. And in my body is still that experience, even though I've grown and I get on TV and stage all the time, and it's fun. Times where inside, I get this feeling, oh, you know, something's wrong. I don't feel safe. Something's going on here. And as a result, it's that old feeling, that old memory that comes up sometimes in my body. You're not safe. But really, I am safe. But in our bodies, we have these feelings that get communicated. So somebody could feel, gee, maybe my program isn't as good as I thought, and they start shaking their leg nervously, and I've had this with public speaking. You're giving a great message. Your mind believes it, but somewhere in your body's not believing it, or your body's feeling resistance. And that's really a lot of what my book's about. Let's find out why I'm not able to attract that relationship or create that career or sell that book. Maybe there's something in my body I'm communicating that I'm not aware of.
Yes, and that's usually something like that is usually something left over from previous experience or trauma or even a belief that you've gathered, correct?
Absolutely. And if it's unresolved and we hold it in, you know, Eileen, I worked with a Buddhist monk 10 years in a monastery. Think about it, 10 years. Beautiful. Meditating, you know, relaxing into that lifestyle.
I remember
first
this.
Time he,
it's great. Go ahead. I'm remembering.
Yeah, the first time he gets out of the monastery, he starts to get into some secular living and meets a woman and gets all excited and dates her. The first time they have an argument, he winds up break in the door and actually striking her and got hauled off to jail. And I'm like, how could that be? But working with him, he had a lot of unresolved anger about his mom and around women that he never really dealt with. He went into a monastery and got quiet, which is beautiful. But in his body, that body memory still lived. And he then had to make the choice of like, look, you've got something in here that even sitting quiet for 10 years isn't going to get rid of. You have to deal with it. It's sitting in your body. And that's a lot of what my book's about, how to feel into that, breathe into that, not run from it, but embrace it, express it, get it out, and then start working on that other, what I call vital belief, like, mm-hmm. you know, women do love me, or I won't be rejected, or I can be accepted, whatever it is, so he can relax around women versus looking for that rejection that he's so used to and then getting upset when it happens.
Yes, yeah. That's real. I remember that guy going absolutely berserk after all those times. I remember hearing years ago, you know, it's one thing to practice spirituality and mindfulness when you're on a mountaintop, but try it in the real world. It's much more challenging. So I had this thought, Steve, and you can say you don't want to do it, but I was thinking in terms of observing people for their body congruence, for their congruence, about the presidential candidates that we have going. Have you observed these candidates for body congruence? And is there anyone you would care to talk about as being particularly congruent or particularly non-congruent, or whatever that word is?
That's great. I've been telling people, boy, when these primaries come up and so forth. Well, you know, obviously the front runner for the Republicans is Donald Trump, and he's real easy to read. I mean, obviously he's reaching people because he's saying things they believe in. But, you know, if you watch his body language, his anger and his face when he's saying, no, I really love women, and there's that, you know, that scrunch in his face, there must be something there. And I've seen this so often. You know, I remember when Bush ran, and some of the things he would say, or even the his father, George Bush, when he would say, you know, read my lips and all this stuff, and you could just see in his face and his body language, or how some of the candidates scrunch when they're asked certain questions, or, you know, they say yes and their head is shaking no. It's like something's going on that they're not aware of. I always say to myself, I can't believe, you know, what are their coaches telling them? But I find this on all levels. I have worked with people with campaigns and public speaking and so forth, where it's just the body doesn't lie. That's the bottom line. You know, uh-huh. I've sat with people, and they're telling somebody on a first date how open they are and how they really are ready to get into a relationship, and yet both arms are blocking their heart. Like, either fear there. I always encourage people to really listen, and I do it too. I go, huh, you know, right now I'm nervous, or right now I'm noticing this, or I'm noticing that, and it really clears the air. It gets me more in touch with my whole experience versus what I'm making up in my mind. And if I'm speaking to you, then you can go, wow, I really get, you know, I really feel the congruence. I get the authenticity of what Steve's saying, because his body and his words seem to be congruent. They seem to be communicating the same message.
So as voters, we can we could look for the candidate that we think would be most successful, because and of course, we'd also want to know if we agree with them more or less. But the more successful person is going to be the most congruent, which will mean the most real, the most authentic. Is that right?
I believe so. I mean, you know, a lot of it has to do with us too, Eileen. Like, it's like, don't deny, you know, if you're for Hillary Clinton and all of a sudden your belly is not feeling what you felt. I mean, it happened last election. I, like a lot of people, were for Hillary. And then all of a sudden, just things shifted. And here comes this guy, Obama, and what he says is something about his body language, his enthusiasm, his energy. It just felt congruent. It felt right in my body. Now, that's my choice, and a lot of us have that. It's like, oh, but I told everybody I was going to back Hillary. You know, oh, but I was thinking Hillary, I thought the Clintons would be back in the White House. You know, all that mental stuff, until I could finally breathe and go, what's really true for you? What do you really feel? Are you going to vote because your parents voted a certain way, because you think it's right, because you're afraid to tell other people? Or are you going to listen to your body and really listen to what feels right for you? And that applies to everything we do in our life. You know, it's as simple as sometimes, you know, Stevie, people pleaser. All you had to do is call me and I would just have to say yes because I didn't want to disappoint anybody. Sure, I'll go to the movies tonight and I'll be going, oh, I don't want to go out. I got this to do. Why did I say yes? Why did I say yes? I don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to, I'm like, let me call you back in a couple of minutes. And then I listen and I tell the truth. I go, you know, I really appreciate your invite. There's a part of me who wants to go, but as I tuned in, I really need to get this done. It's due in the morning, and I'll feel more comfortable, and let's go to the movies another night. And it's just like that level of truth I can't get to in my mind because my mind wants to please and trick and just say what people want to hear. But when I go into my body, then I listen to the truth, and I trust enough to share that, it just seems I make better decisions for myself. Kind of set better boundaries, etc.
Yes, yes, I totally agree with that. We are up to our first break. My guest today is the author of Whole Body Intelligence, Steve Sisgold, who's a motivational speaker and executive coach. Steve will be talking with me about how your body can help you de-stress when we return here on Full Power Living.
Difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. I want to invite you to sign up for our mailing list at emotionalpro.com so we can send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, for example, I'm talking with Stephanie Banks about what has happened to her and her life as the result of colliding with a rock wall as she rode her bike through the mountains of British Columbia. Her book is called A Soulful Awakening. That's 9 a.m. Pacific time next Thursday, August 22nd. And the week after, I'll have a discussion with Barb Schmidt on how to develop the practice for working with stress, inner peace, and developing happiness that she has developed. So we've got a lot of great shows set up for yourself. I also want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. And while you're on the Emotional Pro homepage, click through to find out more about the CCFL Global Academy. It's a membership site in which I'm participating that helps families, and we're trying to make life better for children in our changing world. I'm the expert on emotional mastery and also on codependence at the Academy. That's the CCFL Global Academy. And you can also get a free list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions at Emotional Pro, and that'll help you work more effectively with the emotions that can come up in your life, in addition, of course, to using your whole body intelligence. So I'm talking today with Steve Sisgold, who's author of 2 books, What's Your Body Telling You, which we talked with him about a couple of years ago. And now his brand new book, just 2 days off the shelf, Whole Body Intelligence, in which he gives a 30-day lifestyle plan to reconnect fully with your body's wisdom and intelligence. So, Steve, why do you say our body is intelligent?
Well, you know, I call my body my personal Google, meaning I'm ready to go on a stage. I'm ready to enter into a meeting. I'm ready to do something. And my mind has thoughts and projections and assumptions and beliefs around situations. And if I take a moment and actually listen to the intelligence of my body, it's been proven. I've got a lot of research in my new book about cellular memory, somatic recall, how the body holds on to feelings and memories. They don't just go away. So they're related to everything I do, whether it's, you know, getting up and taking my dog for a walk or making a decision to get on a radio show or whatever it is. My mind doesn't always give me the information I need. You know, Einstein's quote, you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. So I go into my body as another form of intelligence, another expanded awareness to go, let me tune into what that might feel like. Let me see if something comes up. It doesn't always come to a somatic memory or somatic recall, but in so many cases, you know, I'm working with a professional tennis player. So she and her coach can't figure out why when she's up and she's about to win the match, all of a sudden something happens and she gives it up. You can try all you want to figure that one out. You're not going to get there, you know. But I took her into her body just right over the phone several times where she was able to go into the feeling that comes up around winning, around accomplishing, around finishing the goal. And all kinds of stuff came back to like, well, you know, when I was a child and my whole life was about my dog and my dog died. And then when I was becoming a tennis pro and started to win, my dad died. And somewhere in there, she found a belief that lived in her body that says, if I win, if I get to that, you know, if I get too happy, if I get too lucky, if you will, something bad's going to happen. So you would say to yourself, how could that be? But in her body, it's a memory, just like how could Steve get nervous before a talk? Why did John Lennon throw up before every Beatles concert? Because in there are memories of fear and things that we are not in touch with. We've pushed them away. They're deep in our body. They're deep in our subconscious. So by breathing, listening, maybe putting your hand on that spot for those that are listening right now, and actually taking a moment and going, in this tennis player's case, she now does that on the court. She says, okay, my body's starting to freeze. And instead of freezing and kind of, you know, losing the match, she now breathes and shakes it off and reaffirms the truth. Instead of some, you know, oh, something bad's going to happen, she goes, I will be happy when I win. I will not lose anybody. She lost her dog. She lost her dad. It doesn't have to happen. And as she does that, she gets relaxed and she wins the match. But if she forgets, starts to freeze and tries to force it, she loses the match. So that's a good example of how going into her body for that moment and feeling that memory and or that fear, breathing and shaking it off, and then breathing a new affirmation into her body that it's okay to win, it's okay to finish. She then relaxes and is able to play a different game.
Wow. That's lovely. Now, yeah. one of the things I got kind of excited about as I was reading your book is I've had this issue with, say, cognitive behavioral therapy, which is very very popular in psychological circles these days, which says essentially that emotions come from thoughts. But you give research from the University of Chicago and Vanderbilt that indicates that body motion affects higher order thought and complex body problem solving. And so you're saying the way you think is affected by your body. So that means that emotions are don't come just from thoughts. They're coming also from your body.
Absolutely. You know, Eileen, I think it's great that people are starting to look into emotions and emotional intelligence for sure, and that people are trying to be more aware here's what I've noticed, because I've attended several of those trainings, and I think there's a good aspect to everything, like positive thinking or getting in touch with your emotions. But here's what I noticed. When you did that or said that, let's see, am I angry? Am I sad? No. Here's the list. Okay, am I afraid? So what I jumped in and said, wait a minute, take a moment. Take a breath and feel in your body, because you're not able to contact that emotion. You're trying. It's a good intention, but you're not feeling it. So let's see what you come up with. And it's like, boy, Eileen, within moments, wow, when my boss does that to me, I just notice something gets tight in my chest. Okay, there you go. So now you're having a body connection, not just a mental, emotional, trying to figure it out. Now, take a couple breaths and see what that is. Feel deeper into it. Keep listening to your body. And then every time, oh, yeah, it reminds me when my teacher used to do this. It reminds me when my dad used to do that. Ah, now we got to it. So when your boss gives you an assignment without notice, it brings something up from your past that's still living in your body. You contact it in your chest. You can breathe and shake that out and then communicate either to yourself or to your boss your response, the impact it has on your emotional and physical body, so that people, you know, the big joke is like Woody Allen, it's true, has seen the same therapist for like 30 years, four or five times a week, and he's still talking about, you know, the Holocaust and a bunch of things, but he hasn't resolved it. It's talk. So to continue to talk about the same thing, it feels good. It becomes an addiction even. Yeah, I'm going to go see my counselor today, and I don't work like that. I tell people, I don't, unless we're going for a big project or something with a deadline, I don't want to talk to you every week. I don't want you to become addicted to just talking about your mom and your dad. I want you to feel something in your body that you can actually feel is real for you, and then you can change it. And I think that's the key. You can make changes when you actually discover, oh, the stage is a safe place for me, but sometimes in my body, the little boy doesn't know. Good. I can do something about that. I can tell the little boy that he's safe, you see? But mentally or just emotionally, I think it's just part of the formula. You're getting somewhere, but you're not really getting to the core, and you're not getting to express or get it out of your body.
Mm-hmm. So you only do a partial removal, and it's not permanent for sure.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not even a partial removal. It's sometimes it embeds more and more and more.
I believe
when I talk to people and they go, yeah, I'm a incest survivor and so-and-so, I go, oh, okay, well, that happened to you, but that's not who you are. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but my therapist, well, I understand, God bless, but don't walk around saying, like, your first thing. It's like, you know, I'm Taurus, and, you know, I'm Year of the Ox, and I'm an incest survivor, or I'm an abuse victim. Of course, those things happen to you. I feel total empathy. However, carrying those around as a label, walking into relationships, thinking that you're going to get rejected, we start to embed in our body and our mind that this is who we are. And I think that we have to be very careful about too much therapy talking about that over and over and over, because then we start to believe it. We start to believe that we are not good enough, or that we can be abused and it's okay, or you know what I mean? It just goes on and on and on with our mental spin trying to figure out who we are versus being in the moment, really in the present moment, like right now for anybody listening. Take a breath and just notice. Am I breathing from my belly or my chest? It's important to know, because if you're breathing in your belly, you're in your parasympathetic, relaxed state. If you're breathing high up in your chest, you're in the sympathetic. You're fight or flight. You're ready for something dangerous to come after you. Things like that, just to be in this moment and be able to go, as I'm listening to Steve talk, what am I feeling in my body? What is it bringing up for me that I could get some new information about, versus just trying to spin it around in our minds?
Well, you're bringing up all kinds of memories from my week. I was working with somebody who was very afraid and helping them to move their breathing from the chest down into their belly. Yesterday, I spoke with my adult son, and he was feeling a lot of stress. And I think it's for some of the same reasons that a lot of people are stressed these days. Just to give you a few things, he and his family recently bought a new home. Both his father and his stepfather and his father-in-law are deathly ill. He's had problems in his business. His wife got promoted to a much higher position, and he's taken over a lot of the child care responsibilities. And his kids are about to start a new school. That's just a partial list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this list gives an idea of the high level of stress a person can experience, because our lives are very fast paced and there's a lot of change going on now. And we haven't learned to allow our emotions or our energy to pass through us. And so we literally build up tension until something cracks. And that's a major thing you're trying to help people deal with, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, every one of us, including myself, it's real easy to let stress build up. It's real easy to sit and get depressed or stay stuck or obsessed on that thought. Fear is real. It's not something made up. It does bring up past dangers and past worries or future worries. Am I going to be okay? Am I going to get through this? But what I find again, Eileen, is for your son or for anyone is like, take some breaths, get out and move, speak the truth, declare. So for instance, if you're listening right now, take a deep breath and tune into something that's in your face, you know, that's bothering you, whether it's something at work or it's stress, ill or money, and just start to really breathe and say, as I'm thinking about money, bring it into the body. I'm noticing there's some tension in my belly. Okay. We need to clear that, Eileen, because we don't want to carry that. We don't want to squeeze our belly tight, because that's not going to get the tension to go away. The mind's not going to change. The situation isn't going to change. And that's the reality. Sometimes there are situations out there, like 9/11, for instance, that were real and they happened. It was, however, it's up to us. Some people, you know, like myself, I remember getting up on the mountain and feeling the energy and screaming about it or shaking it out and feeling it, pushing it through my body, feeling empathy for the people that died, versus sitting and watching that TV and feeling like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you see? And it's just like, oh, those people, they're people that have been logged that watched that plane hit that building hundreds of times. And they just sat in their chair, you know, getting depressed and feeling worse. Now, the situation is real. It happened. It's how are you going to move that energy? And the beauty is, in my book, you'll see the research, when we get up and move, it opens new neural nets in the brain. Thinking can change. Creativity can come in. I tell people, when you've got money issues, stress issues, move, breathe, say the truth about what you feel, and a new idea can come. And I've had that happen with clients that were stuck, lost my job, I don't know what to do, I'm just sitting depressed, I just want to drink, I just want to do this. I go, I understand. How do you feel? I'm angry. Okay. Who are you angry at? Where do you feel that anger? Move that anger. A little relief. And then we can get into more creative things, like what can you do now? Oh, one woman said, well, I've always wanted to sell my grandma's granola at the farmer's market. You think I could do that? I went, now you're talking. Now you're moving out of sitting there in your house each day feeling terrible that you got laid off to something proactive. Just because you expressed how you felt, you moved it through your body, a new idea came up. And sure enough, Eileen, she's having a blast. You know, there's farmer's markets in California, as you know, every day. Uh-huh. She's out there having fun. So, you know, you can't get there if you stay stuck in the stress. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't grieve or feel. It just means, let's get on with it. Let's tell the truth about it. Let's move. Let's breathe. Let's get physical with it and not just stay stuck in the worry of the future. But maybe something new can arise.
Huh. And just for people who may be listening who are going, well, I don't have time for a lot of that. You don't have to move a whole lot. We just have to remember to move, correct? Because a lot of us are just sitting on our butts all the time now.
Well, first of all, no matter what, it takes no time to breathe. It doesn't take away from any activity you're doing right
now. That's a really good point.
Absolutely, because if you don't breathe, you're going to die. So right now, if you're listening and there's something bothering you, you can absolutely, as Eileen told her client the other day, put your hand on your belly and start to get that breath way down, start to relax your, it's just biological, just to relax our nervous systems. Secondly, you can just get up and feel what your body wants to do. Your body wants to move when it's stressed, when it feels stressed, when it thinks about something. It might just be shaking your hands. It might just be like, I just need to get that sigh out, or I need to say something to somebody. I might need to communicate. And then third is just keep telling the truth about it. Just keep saying, like, this is what is. I'm scared. I've had people call me, Eileen, like, hey, I'm about to go on a TV show and I'm so nervous. I go, okay, here's what I recommend. Say I'm scared. Say what you feel. Keep saying it. Keep moving it out until you feel like, because you're trying to hold it in. And that's right. Where the body starts to explode.
That's really, really helpful. Well, you've gone over it a few times, so I'll mention it at least here. You have in Whole Body Intelligence, you have the whole list of the rebooting process. When you do get tense, what it is that you do to move through. And you've spoken it several times here, but I just want people to know that there's an entire list of the steps that you go through, which include unplugging and breathing and observing and visualizing and rebooting and moving into the new thing. And I also appreciate that you ask people to go into the new thing, because our sign-off is to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. And that's what you're doing there.
Thank you, Eileen. Well, you know, the thing I learned this time in my new book is that I have links at the bottom of the pages, so that if you read about the reboot, it's not just a mental, I just read about it. You can actually go to the link and do it with me and listen. And what I really want for people and for those of you listening is to just be able to know that you actually can. Like, I work at a big company, and they do it twice a day now, and they're finding, wow, it's just kind of like meditation, right? If you do it twice a day, you quiet the mind, you reboot. Our computers go down, we reboot them. Yesterday, I had a glitch with the internet, and sure enough, I called, and all they did was tell me, reboot! So I unplugged and rebooted, and it worked, and I'm like, oh, gosh, Steve, you should know by now. But we don't do that very often, so I want to recommend for everybody two times today to whatever you're doing to stop for 5 minutes. It's not going to ruin your day. It's not going to take time away. In fact, multitasking burns out the brain. It's overstimulation. Take 5 minutes to just do what Eileen just said, just to contact your breathing, scan your body, visualize a nice wave form or an ocean wave that relaxes the brain, and think about what's the most important action you want to take. Get your priorities lined up, but do that through calm moments. And I've read about mega stockbrokers and mega successful CEOs that take that 10 minutes a day and just really reboot before they make their big decisions. So that's really what we're talking about here. Come back to the body so you can reboot, you can listen, you can move some of that energy. And I do it, you know, several times a day just by habit. I just take a moment and go, what am I noticing now? What do I need? Sure enough, my shoulder might be up to my ear. I might be shaking my leg thinking about something this afternoon, and it brings me back to the moment, and then I feel relaxed, and I'm much better, more creative, much more productive.
Wow, that's good to know. Well, in Whole Body Intelligence, you've got a full 30-day lifestyle plan to help people get back to their bodies and maintain their connection on a permanent, ongoing basis. And I want to talk with you about that after we come back from this break. I'm talking with Steve Sisgold, who's author of Whole Body Intelligence. We have our call-in number, if you'll give us a call, at 888-498-0570. Come back and we'll talk about the 30-day lifestyle plan for Whole Body Intelligence.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us. Four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I'm Eileen Dillon, and if you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Steve Siskold, who's the author of Whole Body Intelligence, which is just off the shelf. And Steve, I'm assuming that people can get your book everywhere. Can you give us a minute of where can they get your book?
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen. Obviously on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, all of those. You can get it in your local bookstore. And here's the beauty, Eileen. If you buy the book anywhere you want and come to my website after, wholebodyintelligence.com, there's a place where you can show me that you bought the book, and I'll send you four bonus gifts that are not anywhere. They're exclusive only for people to buy my book. They're with Lissa Rankin, MD. They're with me. They're with Amy Ehlers and Debbie Rosas of NIA Movement. They're four audios and videos that you can get free. Buy it anywhere you want, and then come to my website, show me you bought it, and I'll give you a gift.
Great. Thanks for telling me that. And that reminds me, I wanted to let you know that I'm really impressed with the wide variety of people. You were listening, like Lissa Rankin is one of the people. You have a wide variety of people endorsing your ideas and your new book, Whole Body Intelligence. You've got my friend Dr. Richard Shamus, for example. You've got, Lissa Rankin is also a physician. You've got clothing designers, personal growth experts, Google and eBay leaders, triathlon experts like Eric Haar and Andrew Friedman of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And that indicated to me that whole body intelligence can be used by virtually everybody in all different kinds of situations, whatever is going on.
Well, Eileen, you're so tuned in. You're first person to bring that up, and I've been on the radio and TV a lot the last couple of days. And you're right. I mean, you know, thank God I don't just have Wayne Dyer, who I love Wayne, but, you know, it's like I realized that in order to really bring this to people, it's for everybody. Everybody has a body. Everybody has goals and desires that they want. So you're right. I work across the board, and I'm very fortunate that I can go into a corporation one day and work with a team. The next day I can work with the president of the Dodgers, and the next day I can work with someone that, you know, is impacting in a different way, whether they're a CEO or a physician. But it's true that each of us, because we have a body and we have those memories, and we have this biological, brilliant feedback system, are able to use it. So thank goodness that I have been fortunate. And since I've met you, that I've met so many new people through the last book and now through this book, I'm really able to share the program of what I've been developing since you met me 6 years ago. It's been
right.
6 years, Eileen.
Right. Really, it's been that long. Well, I have to come back for another course. I think after the last time you were on, I came to your offices and took a course. One of the surprises when I was looking at your endorsements to me was Eric Haar, because here on Full Power Living, we had Eric's daughter, Vivian, as our guest. Oh. And we had 30 third graders interview Vivian about her project, the Make a Stand project, for making money to end child slavery in the world. Mm. And I had no idea. I talked with her dad, but I had no idea what he did in his life. Vivian said he was
a very beautiful, conscious family. You know, he's been an ambassador for CARE, and he was on. He was a TV host on CBS. Yeah. But again, every one of us. I've worked with rock stars. I've worked with myself. Every one of us at times are going to have things come up. I'm not one of those people, Eileen, as you know, that tells people, oh, get rid of it, it'll never come back. No, we live in a body, and these memories will come back. I'm surprised sometimes where I don't think about someone or some incident, and then all of a sudden, you know, 10 years later, something reminds me, and there I am. Boy, I'm right back there, you know. Uh-huh. It just comes right back into the system. The difference is I now have choice. Sitting there stuck or unconscious, I have choice to embrace that feeling and listen to it and let it kind of flow through me versus trying to numb or avoid or escape from it. And I think that's the big message.
Right. And I also wanted to point out, I noticed when I was on wholebodyintelligence.com that you have a BQ audit that people can find can take to identify their own whole body intelligence. Is that so? Is that
absolutely?
It is?
Yeah. You through some questions to just become more aware of your body, more aware of the things we talked about today. And again, no judgment. You just look and go, "Ooh, wow! No, I don't do that. No, I don't take time to scan my body. No, I don't listen to my body when I make decisions." And I'm even developing a new one, which will be kind of a 1 to 10, and you know, with a response that if you're a 1, you need this, and if you're a 7, you need that. But right now, the BQ audit is on the website, and it gives people an opportunity to look at where am I not connecting, where am I disconnecting, what could I do to improve my connection with my body. And as we know, that's going to help your health, it's going to help your career, it's going to help your relationships, your communication, and you'll find your purpose. I mean, there's just so much that we could find if we just take a few minutes to listen and get quiet. And that's really difficult in today's world because people are on those phones and machines from the second they wake up. I talk to people, I say, it's next to me, next to my pillow. I have one client, Eileen, that gets stressed when he gets into the shower. He has separation anxiety from his phone, and in those 10 minutes, he can't really enjoy the shower because he's thinking about what he might be missing.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. How sad for him and for all of us. That's really bad here. You know, you have a great story in your book that I want to move on to talk about beliefs. For years as a therapist, I've told, you know, shared with my clients that we are what we believe. Our lives are a reflection of what we believe. And you have this story about Will Smith, who admitted on Oprah that he has a poor person mentality, even though, as you point out, he made $1 million by the time he was 19. So tell us a little bit about that story and how it is that we get, I mean, he didn't even grow up in a poor family. He developed that belief later on. Yeah.
I know. My assumptive mind, when I heard him say that, I thought, oh, he probably grew up poor and worried. Because what he told Oprah is, look, the guy makes $20 million or more a film. He's producing films for his son. His daughter's got a hit record. His wife's in a hit TV series. They got a lot of money. However, he said he told Oprah he goes to bed at night thinking he's poor and might wake up with nothing. And I thought, wow. And I thought, well, that must be, oh, sure. My mind went to, of course, he grew up in poor, but no, he actually grew up middle class. He went to a great college. But what happened is he did make $1 million when he was 19. And like a lot of 19-year-olds, he went and blew it. You know, the chauffeurs and the limos and the buying everybody cars and having fun. And then all of a sudden he got hit with reality. The IRS smacked him hard. And he was like, wow. So that is what lives in his body. See, it's not always as a child. It could be something that happened. You know, I got betrayed and rejected once in a relationship, and boy, you know, even though I'm in a great relationship now, there's still that part of me in my body today that, uh-oh, thinks I'm going to get rejected. It's crazy, I know, but
yeah.
It's body memory. So in Will's case, I would love to work with him because for a man like him to go to bed at night tells me that he still hasn't, at least he mentioned it to Oprah, so he's moving the energy around it. But for him to go to bed at night means that he's still holding on to fears and upsets about spending that first million or having to go through the IRS fears and hassles, the traumas. So in his nervous system, especially when he gets quiet and goes to sleep, it starts to visit him again. Even though hundreds of millions, I'm sure, are sitting in the bank, it doesn't matter. Isn't that crazy when you think about it?
Yeah,
it really doesn't matter. We can have everything happening in our life right now, but if we haven't resolved what happened and it's still stuck in our body somewhere or we swallowed it, it's going to revisit us. And it could, in his case, every night.
It puts new meaning to the term we create our own reality, doesn't it? Because Will Smith has a reality that isn't even real, but he's created it and believes in it when he gets in those places. That's interesting.
Exactly. And it's a good model for everybody listening today that I really believe that, you know, we can create some new things today, that every moment is a choice. And just take a moment to really take a look at what Eileen brought up is, you know, what beliefs do I have around my career? What beliefs do I have around relationships? You know, I talk to so many people, Eileen. You know, it's a lot to write a book, believe me, and it's a lot to market a book. It's even more to go sell it to a publisher. But I've had those things come up around rejection, and I've been rejected. I've probably had dozens of publishers say no to me through the years. And that could easily get me to think, well, I don't have a good book. There's nothing here to share. If I went to that, we wouldn't be talking on the phone right now.
Right. Right.
I have to eat and move through the beliefs almost every day.
Yeah, well, they keep coming up, so we can keep growing, I think. Now we're having to close this down here, so I just want to mention one thing. In a way, what we've been talking about is very, very simple. Emotional energy gets locked up in our bodies. When we stop and inquire and listen, our bodies tell us what's there. We give voice to what our body is really saying. We allow the energy to release, and then we decide on something new to focus on. And this creates change, and that change can be lasting. And it's pretty simple regarding things. I mean, if you think that people suffer from some things for decades, and yet that's the simple process. But I want to just say, Steve, that I believe that truth is simple. And so I want to really appreciate your discovery of a simple way for people to work with themselves through their whole body intelligence to lead us to a better life. I just want to say great work.
Thank you, Eileen. And vice versa, great work. I know what it takes to produce a radio show and continue to do the work you're doing, and it's just amazing. And, you know, I know a lot of people that are very grateful for you that I've even brought to your show. They're very grateful that you're such a good interviewer. You take the interest to read the books and really help people get the word out there. That's, to me, that's gold. I just want to tell you, it's gold. People like you trying to help us get our word out there.
And I grow so much, too, so thank you. So thank you again for following your interest, for dedicating yourself as a helper for others. And especially today, thanks for being here on Full Power Living, Steve. Thanks for letting me know about your new book.
Oh, Eileen, take care now.
All right. So that's Whole Body Intelligence with Steve Siskold, folks. Join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And remember, next week, I'm going to be talking about a soulful awakening with Stephanie Banks, which are her amazing discoveries following a serious bicycle accident. I look forward to sharing that discussion with you. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer today. Thank you, Paul. We're glad to have you with us. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.